This episode is brought to you by Undeniably Dairy. Dairy farmers are more than farmers. They're climate caretakers. They see water as a precious resource. Most farmers recycle water up to four times, from chilling the milk to irrigating the crops. And some even use technology to turn manure into renewable energy. To learn more about what dairy farmers are doing to make their farms more sustainable, visit usdairy.com.
Hey, you are listening to the OCRAP Potty Training Podcast, and I am your host, Jamie Glowacki. I am the author of OCRAP Potty Training and OCRAP, I Have a Toddler. And we are heading into summer, the high holy days of potty training. I remember when Simon & Schuster was going to buy my book in 2014, and I met with the, you know, like the CEO. It was really crazy. I was in the penthouse office in Rockefeller Center. It was very exciting. But one of the things when you have a book deal, so OCRAP Potty Training was a book before Simon & Schuster bought it. I wrote it in 2009 and I sold it off my website and it became very, very, very popular. And that's why Simon & Schuster wanted it. And so there's a period where the book had to be not available while they put it into print, right? And so the CEO was like, well, we're going to keep it dark, meaning it's going to be not available to anybody like during June, July, and August. And I was like, what? No way. It has to be available during June, July, and August. Like, I don't care if it's a PDF. I don't care if it's self-published. It can't be not available to parents during June, July, and August. And they said, well, how come? And I was like, do you want to potty train in a bathing suit or a snowsuit? So that was my reasoning. And they were like, oh, okay. We won't make it dark during that time. So this is, I call it the high holy days of potty training, because most parents do potty train in the summer, not only because of ease of, you know, clothing and all of that, but also that's when we tend to have breaks in the winter. Any breaks are usually holidays, right? So I'm going to go over today the essentials, what you absolutely cannot live without for beginning potty training. And then we're going to kind of go through a second tier of like what you might want and why you might want it. And they're not necessary, but they might be good for you. And then we're going to go over a few pros and cons of potty training in the summer as opposed to winter months. So let's begin with the essentials. Like, you can't live without these. Number one is a potty chair. So I will often have parents contact me and say, you know, that's gross. I don't want that. I don't want my kid, you know, pooping in the living room. That's disgusting. I want them to go right to the toilet. You can try doing that for sure, but almost every person I have ever worked with personally starts off with that lofty dream and then immediately goes and has to like rush order potty chairs from Amazon. I am a huge fan of the potty chair. And yes, we went eons and eons without a potty chair, but it's one of those assists that make things so easy. So a couple of things you want to look for in a potty chair is no bells and whistles. So I know there's all these kinds, right? Like, there's urinal ones for boys. There's ones that like look like a little toilet and they flush. I really suggest you get the most basic potty chair out there. So there's no distractions. There's no other things to worry about, except this is where you sit and pee. You also want it to be light enough to carry around. You know, you don't want this big kind of bulky piece of furniture, because in the early days of potty training, you do only have a couple of seconds. When your kid recognizes the need or the urge, or you recognize it in your kid, you got to get there pronto. Typically, I don't recommend specific brands for things, but with the potty chair, I will say I do like the original Baby Bjorn. The last time I was on their website, I didn't even see the original. The original almost has a dip in it. It's like a oval shape. And so the child would actually squat. Yeah. If you can find one of those are ideal. Anything where the butt is actually a little bit lower than the knees is going to be ideal. One of the problems that we experience with a child pooping when they begin potty training is oftentimes in a diaper, they have held on to something and squatted. Squatting is the best way to poop. I always say I have a squatty potty, and I had a squatty potty before they were on Shark Tank. I think I was part of their Kickstarter. Like, I was one of the original squatty potty users. And I always say that if my house was on fire, I would grab that before my child. Kidding, of course, but that's how much it means to me. as close to the knee, you know, knees to the chest as possible, because that helps the poop come out in a straight shot. So we have an anorectic angle, and that's like the poop chute, right? And it can get kinked up like a garden hose when we sit at 90 degrees. So when we squat, or at least lift the knees up to the chest, that can make poop evacuation so much easier. And even in my book, if you don't have something like that, you can prop your child's legs up with books or even with your hands. So no bells and whistles. I like the Baby Bjorn. If you can't find one where the butt is lower than the knees, that's okay. You can always prop your child's legs up. A lot of people get grossed out by this, but I would scour yard sales and secondhand shops, because secondhand potties, you can wash them, you can bleach them, whatever. And I think it's great to have one in every room, to be honest, in the beginning. And if it's, you know, you can get one for a dollar at a yard sale, it just saves you so much time. It's very challenging to get a kid to the toilet in those first couple of days, especially if your toilet's like far away from your main room, like the playroom or the kitchen, wherever you're at. All right. On that note, you definitely want to get a step stool. And this you probably won't be utilizing in the first week or so, but when your child does move on to the toilet, they're going to need a step stool. You want this to be very sturdy, and you want it to have a wide enough base so that your child can get up there, get their pants down, and turn around. So think of the maneuvering that has to happen on that top step. And of course, this is going to be down the road when your child is using the toilet independently and you've gotten rid of the little potty chair, but it's definitely worth having that step stool, you know, now, should your child want to use the big toilet. The other thing is, it's very hard to poop with feet dangling. So you want their feet on something very secure. I found that most kids, when they're on the toilet, if their feet dangle, it's very, very hard to poop. Okay. The next thing that I think you have to have is a seat reducer. Now, a seat reducer is a ring. It's like a toilet seat ring that goes inside the toilet seat, and it reduces the size of the seat. So this prevents your child from falling in. If your child falls into the toilet, you're probably going to have to take a break from potty training, because they're going to probably be very freaked out. Seat reducers come in all kinds of shapes and forms, whatever. I always had a Baby Bjorn one, but that's not foldable. It's not portable. It kind of just lived in my bathtub, and I take it out for Pascal. They have so many now, and there are ones that I love that are foldable. They fold into quarters and they fit right in a little Ziploc bag, and you can take them to go. So they're perfect for public restrooms. Not necessary, but I think it's great. Now, that foldable one could be your one and only, or it could be extra. There's also seat reducers that are part of a travel potty. So a lot of times a travel potty, it looks like that seat reducer with legs, and you can put a plastic bag in it. That is an option that falls into the unnecessary category, unless you want to buy sort of one of these all-in-ones. It can be a seat reducer, it can be a travel potty, and so you get that whole thing. So those are your options for seat reducers, but I do recommend you get something, because that toilet seat is very, very big. It's very awkward. And so many times, unless you have a champion pooper who poops like when it's on the off ramp, the child is so obsessed with not falling that they can't really concentrate on pooping. So I do really recommend that. Beyond that, an essential is have a plan. Have a plan. Of course, this is my podcast. I wrote the book. I want you to use my plan. I want you to use my book. But if you don't, I don't care. But stick with a plan. So much that's happening in modern potty training is far too much information, far too much input from everybody and their brother. Everybody's a know-it-all about this milestone. And I don't know why. Gosh, literally online, somebody say, I have three kids. I know everything about potty training. I'm like, no, you don't. So have a plan and kind of go insular with it. Like, you and your spouse, partner, and just stick with the plan. Don't show too much variation, unless it goes to hell in a handbasket and you're like, ooh, we picked the wrong plan. Then pause, reconsider, you know, find another plan. I would like to think with my plan, you wouldn't need another plan, but I see all kinds of disasters. Even if you're listening to this, you haven't bought my book and you're like, fuck off, I'm not going to buy your book. That's fine. But I just want you to know, I've seen disasters with 3-day boot camps. So just don't do that. It's also really good to have a plan. We went years and years and years, eons with no potty training plan, and parents just did it. But I think modern potty training presents its own problems, right? There's all kinds of new issues that come up. I think we're inundated with information. So having somebody kind of on your team, it feels really good. And you need to have somebody who not only shows you the best way to take off diapers, but knows what to do next. So potty training isn't that scary. You take off the diaper. What's scary is how your child reacts to that. And so you want to have a plan, because if you start showing fear, that will cause anxiety in your child. The next thing that is an essential, and I know this sounds ridiculous, it is an essential, time off from work. If you both work outside the home, or you're a single parent who works outside the home, you have to have some time off. You have to string together as many days as you can. And I know this can be challenging. You might have to take personal days. You might have to take vacation days, but this is a skill best learned at home. And so it's very, very, very important that you take as much time as you can. And I know, again, this can be really hard, but all the time people are like, I just have the weekend to potty train. You're not going to be successful. I have never worked with a child who potty trains in 2 days and is ready to go back to school or daycare. So just as much as you can. Yeah. And it really is successful. And I really blame this whole 3 day method on this being confusing. Like, people are like, it takes 3 days. No, it doesn't. It really takes anywhere from 3 to 7 to 9 days. And it's funny, because I was just working with a client, very, very difficult pee withholder, and we were working together, and she had 9 days, and it was on day 8 that her child kind of flipped. And so it was perfect, because she was feeling hopeless and she was like, oh my God, I have to go back to work and it's not all set. And then her child really like clicked and flipped, and it was awesome. So we want to make sure we give kids time to learn this. Okay. Looking ahead, not for your first couple of weeks of potty training, but looking ahead to when they put on underpants, you want to get triple layer training pants. These are cloth undies. They look just like undies, but they have a triple layer in the crotch to handle dribbles and like the beginnings of accidents if your child's trying to make it to the potty. So I would stock up on those. Don't put like character underpants in front of your child when they first start potty training, because they'll really want to wear them because they love the character, but they may not be ready to handle underpants quite yet. All right, next tier, things that you might want looking ahead, but that aren't necessarily something you need right away. Night training. So if you're taking on night training right away with day training, you will want to purchase this. But if you're waiting a while, obviously the purchase can wait a while. And that is piddle pads or a waterproof washable mattress cover. They sell them in medical supply stores as chucks. They sell them as piddle pads, you know, in the dog section. And they sell them as like some sort of pee pad for kids. If it's marketed to kids, it's going to be more expensive. If it's marketing to pets and the medical supply, it's going to be less expensive, just so you know. And so these can be, when you're night training, you can duct tape or masking tape these down on the mattress in layers. So if your child does have an accident, whoop, you can lift it off and then the child can go right back to sleep. However, my assistant Sharon weighed in on this, and she said that she used a waterproof mattress cover because she found the piddle pads, like even that was disruptive. So she liked waterproof a mattress pad. And what she did is she would put a fleece blanket over the wet spot and then change everything in the morning. So a fleece blanket will block the pee, so your child will be dry. The mattress obviously will still be wet. But if you wanted to do that as well during the night, you could. Books. Everybody wants to know what I recommend for books for potty training, and I don't. So I love the book Everybody Poops, but I just love that book in general. And I think it's just a great book to have in the bathroom. And the problem with books is, number one, too much pressure on potty training will make the entire thing collapse. And I think books fall into, like, we're just talking too much about potty training. So if everything you're reading is potty training, and then you're watching Elmo and Daniel Tiger about potty training, and then all you're talking about is potty training, your kid's going to get sick of this in like 24 hours. So I don't think there's any need. And I haven't found a book out there yet that literally outlines the process. It's like, I go pee in the toilet. Yay. But it doesn't talk about like anything else. Right? I don't think there's any harm in having like one. I just wouldn't buy a whole bunch of them. It's too much. It's too much talking about the potty, and it will put too much pressure on your child. The other thing is that I think what happens with books is parents kind of feel like, I'm going to hit this learning from all areas. There's no potty training children's book out there that I have found that is so good that the child's like going to assimilate how to do it. It's just entertainment. And I just feel like if we could stop saying the words potty as much as possible, we have better results with kids. I do know that the Elmo episode is quite popular on potty training, and also the Daniel Tiger episode on potty training is quite popular. So I'm on board with those. Not every day, but if you wanted to like kind of throw it into the playlist, you know, before potty training, I think those are okay. Daniel Tiger seems to be the most popular, and it does have some learning curve to it. The one thing I will say you absolutely don't need is those ladder seat reducers. So it's like a little child's seat attached to a ladder that the child can climb up on. And I just find them to be very unsturdy. I think they take up a lot of bathroom space. An adult has to remove it. And so I'm not a fan of them at all. So I really don't think you need that. Going back to the seat reducer though, I meant to mention that there is a kind, it's hardware. It's like a toilet seat cover, toilet seat. And then there's the mini one. So they're all on a hinge. So instead of, you know how on the hinge, you have the toilet seat and the cover, in between those is a tiny seat that comes down. So those are super great. If you have, you know, multiple children, or you plan on having multiple children and you're potty training at first, I would probably invest in one of those, because that's the cleanest line in your bathroom. You don't have all this potty training crap all over the place. All right. So those are the essentials, really. And I would say, even if you want nothing else, I would say time off is honestly the biggest essential that I would beg for in potty training. So potty training during the summer. Yeah, it's awesome, right? Because you can be outside. It's so much easier with like lighter clothing. However, there are a couple of things that make it a little more challenging that you need to be aware of. Number one, just around water. We're always around water. So you kind of have to be a little cautious, because imagery of water, talking about water, the sound of water can create the need to pee. Everybody pees in the pool. I think we know that. That's why there's so much chlorine in public pools. So I'm not necessarily like opposed to that, but it does make it a little more challenging to get a handle on signal. So like a lot of parents choose to potty train on like a beach vacation. And I'm like, okay, cool. But are you actually learning the child's patterns and cues? Because again, it's not just about your child peeing in a potty. It's about you learning their pattern, their drinking pattern and releasing pattern, along with what's their pee dance. And if they're in water all day, you're not going to learn that. And that's what gives you the ability to kind of go places. Like you say, oh, she just peed. I know she's not going to pee for another hour and a half. Let's run to the market. That's what gives you the ability in that first month to really get back to your like, quote unquote, real life. I think so much like out of schedule summer time we tend to stay out later because the sun's out later. We tend to do more things like barbecues or stay at the beach or, you know, friends' houses. And along with out of routine comes usually a lot more fluid too. So kids at parties and barbecues will be sucking down juice boxes once they find out where the cooler is, you know? So I think there can be a lot of excess fluid in the summer. And I do think that I know that some fruits are diuretic. So we tend to up fruit, and we have like popsicles, things like that, that up the water content a lot. Watermelon in particular is a diuretic. So it will make you pee more than you took in. It kind of drains you. So just be aware of that. I love watermelon, but I can't have watermelon after noon because I will be up all night peeing. And God forbid, if I have it at 5 o'clock, I am literally up every 20 minutes to pee. So just be aware of that, particularly if you're night training. And again, I think summertime is so much fun and it is the perfect time to potty train. But sometimes, you know, it's also great in the wintertime when you're really cozied in, you're kind of stay home because the weather's crappy or it's too cold. So they kind of both have their pros and cons. It's just stuff to be aware of. You have to potty train when you have the time, when it's the appropriate time for your child. So like, don't sweat it, but these are the things to be cautious of. I also think that kids, they get more tired during the summer because they're playing harder. They're sweating, you know, pools and beaches tend to wipe kids out. So just remember, when your kid's tired, their skills are going to slip. So these are just things to be aware of. All right, you guys, that's all I have for you today. I hope that was so helpful. I think it is. Many people have been asking for the essentials list. And as always, I appreciate you listening, and rock on.